I was born and raised Muslim. I prayed 5 times a day, and on Ramadan I fasted for 10 years. I was taught Islam was the only way to heaven, and I believed it. Then I started making non-Muslim friends. Christians said Jesus is the Son of God and is the way to heaven.
And that was another one of his arguments. Well, the Christians say you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus. The Muslims say you're going to hell. The hell with all of you now. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you say to that?
This is the
Deen. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Muhammad Hijab, how are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah.
I want to take a second and address a phenomenon.
Yeah.
That's been happening. You have a lot of people who are Muslim, maybe by name, locality. And Muslim is simply one who has submitted their will of the Creator. That's right, right?
That's right.
But many people, they go to university, right? They have their parents teaching them to pray. They go through the ritual. They go through the motions.
Yeah.
But then they get out into the world, and some of these things they get hit with. They end up not going to the right sources to get the answers, and they form their own ideas, and that kind of goes with their desires, their lifestyle, and they drift off into the world. There is a nice young brother that we're going to go ahead and look at his video, and then we're going to kind of there's some of these points that he mentions in these videos, they go right up into what I'm talking about.
Right, okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
In life, there are 3 things you shouldn't talk about: money, politics, and religion. So today, I'm going to talk about religion. I was born and raised Muslim. I prayed 5 times a day, and on Ramadan, I fasted for 10 years. I was taught Islam was the only way to heaven, and I believed it. Then I started making non-Muslim friends. Christians said Jesus is the Son of God and is the way to heaven. Jews said they were the chosen one. Hindus said there's not one God, there are millions. And my atheist friends made fun of all of us. The more people I met, the more I realized everyone thinks their religion is right. And if one is right, then fundamentally everyone else is wrong, including me. That is when I stopped believing in religion and continued my belief in the idea of God and decided to create my own religion. It's called Gnosticism, in which I try to love myself and others to the best of my abilities.
All right, before we go on, you got a chance to look at it. We got a chance to look at it. We love you, Nas. And this is we're taking the time. This is out of love. Yeah. That's a brother's name, Nas.
Is it?
So he's got to know that we love him because we're addressing this.
Of course.
Have you heard some of these arguments? I'm sure you have.
Well, yeah. It's actually logically unfounded arguments. Like, if we think about what the arguments actually are, is that something which is complicated is untrue. So in other words, because there's many choices, it cannot be the case that the choice that I have decided upon, or my family has decided upon, or the environmental situation has put me in, is the correct choice. There's a few fallacies associated with this. The first one is the genetic fallacy. Just because something comes from a certain place, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just means it just comes from a certain place. Just because there are so many options of religions, or let's say there are 6 major world religions, it doesn't mean that, okay, one is right, all of them must be wrong. There's actually no argument against religion there. Then what he says about actually making his own religion is actually an ignorance of what is religion anyways, or what is religion trying to establish for the human being.
Haven't you compounded the problem of man-made religions already?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
I'm just going to make my own religion.
Yeah, so if the issue is that religion is man-made, then absolutely, you've just exacerbated that issue because you've just now made another man-made religion. A true religion, for the most part, usually is one which refers to an ultimate truth coming from a deity, or an entity which claims to be a god. Now, Islam claims to be that. And we would say that if you apply logic, rationalism, and also your own predisposition, you'd be most inclined to the Islamic model than any other model. Atheism, the ones that you mentioned. Atheism is the idea that literally something has either come from nothing, or as the Quran says, "Am khuliqu min ghayri shay'in am humul khaliqun," were they created from nothing, or were they themselves the creators of themselves? That something either came from nothing or existed eternally. The universe existed eternally, which is aside from it being unscientific, is also unsubstantiated. There's no evidence for it. Number three. Did they create itself, or did they create themselves? So did the universe exist and not exist at the same time? Also not possible. So atheism is an unsubstantiated logical claim which cannot be substantiated with logical, deductive, inductive, abductive evidences. And so the atheistic position is really, I would say, a response to religion or to the failure of certain or perceived failure of Christian religion in the Western Hemisphere.
And that's another response to the man-made religions.
Yeah.
People see through intelligent people and they just discredit all religions.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to, because some people do actually say atheism is a religion. Some people, he mentioned atheism as a religion.
Yeah.
Many atheists wouldn't even put atheism as a religion.
But they have their own set of rituals.
Yeah.
You know, the lucky shirt, lucky charm, you know, absolutely. The aliens in the space. Mm-hmm. They have their own set of beliefs now.
The atheistic narrative, according to postmodernists, is a meta-narrative of some sorts. It attempts to explain the world in a certain way. So atheism is one thing. If you want to consider it a religion, I would say it's one that it is man-made. It's no doubt is something which is definitely man-made. If you want to consider it as a religion and something which cannot be proven to be true in any case. Hinduism, as you mentioned, is the idea of a multiplicity or a plethora of different gods. This religion doesn't have as absolutist a claim to the truth as the Abrahamic religions in the first instance. You can come to many different conclusions by looking at the Bhagavad Gita and the different Vedas, for example, in the corpus, the Hindu corpus. It's not really, in the same sense, absolutist in its objective moral claims. So in other words, it's a religion which doesn't even make the claim that it's absolutely true in the same way as, let's say, the Abrahamic religions do. Then you're left with Sikhism, which is the sixth major world religion, which is a very recent religion, which once again, some Sikhs would say it's not an absolutist religion. Some would say it is an absolutist religion. It's a difference of opinion. But it's an amalgam of the Hindu and Muslim legacy of the Indian tradition. And we can say that Hinduism, it doesn't comply with either a strict monotheism in so much as that it considers the guru as part of God. And so therefore, the idea of monotheism is obscured with that notion. And moreover, it's not something which has offered any evidences to be a true religion. And despite it being a religion which is born out of, as we say, other religious dispensations, it's not something which has the evidence which we could say, okay, this is a true religion. And that's why I stayed regional. I stayed in the Punjab region in India. So we've covered three. The other religions now, we could talk about Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Judaism is a religion really which is not a proselytizing religion at any rate. It's not a religion which claims to be for everyone, frankly. It's a religion which really affirms this idea that the Jews are the chosen people and that the Gentiles are not the chosen people. Then you're left with Christianity and Islam. And then you ask the question.
These are now the Abrahamic religions.
They're the two Abrahamic religions that are proselytizing religions, that are claiming to be absolutely true, and that have very solid truth claims.
We've narrowed it down.
So we're left with Christianity and Islam.
We're making it much easier for our brother
making
now.
Making it easier for him.
Yeah.
Of the major world religions, obviously Buddhism is another thing, which is not absolutist. And some people even say it's a religion. So that's why I haven't mentioned it. But with with Christianity and Islam, the question would be now, On a fundamental level, which is more commonsensical, which is more rational, which is more logical? Is it the idea that there's three in one and one in three? The idea that the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but there's only one God, which doesn't even add up mathematically. It's not rational. We can trace the historical development of the Trinity. Or the idea that God is one and that he has a long line of messengers that have come aforetime, all of them with the same message, that there's no God to be worshipped except for God. And that Muhammad was the final messenger sent to all of humankind, as is mentioned in chapter 7 of verse 158 of the Quran, that he is sent for all of human beings. And so, which you can tell me now of what we've just went through, which is the most rational recourse in terms of religion? You making your religion doesn't solve any problems. It shows intellectual, I'm not going to say intellectual laziness, but I'm going to say it's just a willing to engage with the truth claims on an intellectual level. It's a good thing that you're critical, but your criticality has led you to something which is really a waste of time, in my opinion, obviously. But we do say, if you put your thinking cap back on and apply the same criticality to kind of assess now the truth claims of the different religions, then you would be surprised that it might have been the case that actually the religion of your forefathers was the most appropriate religion or most rational recourse anyways.
We got a question coming in here saying, what would you say about a person who just wants to be accepting of others and not be constrained by the rules of religion?
What I would say to someone like that is that if you don't want to be constrained by the rules of religion, you'd be constrained by something else. Rousseau, who's a French philosopher, says man is born free but everywhere in chains. Man is born free but everywhere in chains. You think you won't be constricted by the social and economic reality around you, you will be, and you are. And that is the reality. That's what I would say to them. I'll say to them, religion is not something which is actually is confining. It's confining on a superficial level. But Islam in particular is a religion which does take you out of your physical and psychological comfort zone and spiritual comfort zone. But with that, you achieve what we would call a higher state of being, a higher state of spiritual being, of living. And so this short-term horizon thinking, where you only think of immediate pleasures, this immediacy is something which is really the Achilles heel of most people in the world. And the cause, the major cause of depression and anxiety for the majority of people that live in the Western Hemisphere. So I would say that to that person, that whoever thinks that religion is a constraint to them, or is something which constrains them, that you shouldn't apply that only to religion. Everything, anything is going to constrain you. You're living in a world where there is an X amount of extraneous variables which you cannot control, and those extraneous variables will constrain your choice and your ability to be liberal or otherwise free in the space or the domain in which you live. Therefore, to apply this only to religion is an irrational, you could say, it's not a sensible recourse. And I would say to them also that Islam, spiritually, it gives meaning to everything you do in life. And that's why I really love this hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is narrated by Suhaib in Sahih Muslim, where he says, "Ajaban li amr al-mu'min." He says, "Wondrous is the affair of the believer. Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khayrun," that all of his affair is good. "Walaysa dhaka li ahadin illa lil-mu'min," and this is not the case for anyone except for the believer. "In asabathu sarra shakar," if good things happen to him, he's thankful. "Wa in asabathu darra sabara wa shakar," and if bad things happen to him, he is patient and he is also thankful. Mm-hmm.
This is something that's affecting a lot of Muslims. Because you see Nas, and I say, "I love you, Nas. We're doing this for you, Nas." And he used to pray, right? Yeah. He used to fast, yeah, right? And then he went to the university. I think he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Some people don't make it back. What goes on over there? People getting a degree, but they're losing their iman.
Their faith, subhanAllah.
Have you seen these cases?
Yeah, I've seen it when I went to uni, obviously, in the United Kingdom. I've seen that it happens with Muslims and Christians, but I've also seen the opposite. I've mm-hmm. seen people come to religion en masse.
Yeah,
and the reason why is because criticality is applied at that stage. People start to engage with certain things, but I think conventionally and traditionally, and also through culture, people see the university experience or the college experience as an experience whereby you can start to experiment.
Yeah,
start doing what you
want to
do.
I know what's going on, man. Look, Nas, now the person or someone else they kind of feel free from the shackles, what they think of religion.
Yeah.
Now the guy gets a girlfriend, you know, he doesn't want to feel guilty, right? So the rules are there. He's got to abolish himself of all this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's drifted off. But you can see, man, from a person who's made sajda before, the prostration, that sweetness of it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
The door is always open to come back, isn't it?
100%.
100%.
100%.
And then to really know knowing, when you know your Lord, the Creator, the irresistible, Allah, right?
Yeah.
And now you know, like, Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, glory be to my Lord, the Most High. Many people making sajda, they don't even know what they're saying.
Allahu Akbar. You're right.
So this is something that's so important to really know your deen. Many people going through the rituals. Doesn't matter, you've been fasting 20 years.
Mm.
We had some guy, he said, this person, he was telling us, we had a nice little talk. It was a Christian and us, me, my cousin, and another brother. And he was talking about, you know, flaunting how he used to be Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, he was Muslim. And then we asked him, well, can you recite to us? My cousin asked him, can you recite Al-Fatiha? He said, "What's that?" So that's like and I've done this many of times, right?
Yeah.
Or someone says, "Yeah," and I say, "Can you tell me the meaning?"
Yeah, yeah.
Does that tell a lot?
It does tell a lot. A lot of these cases are disingenuous; like, they're not actually real cases.
Yeah.
A lot of people now, they come out. I'm not saying everyone, because there's some people that genuinely apostate, yeah?
I believe Nas, he was genuinely praying, yeah, he was going through, you know, but he just got exposed, the temptation, the world opens up, and now he wants to kick it.
Yeah, he might be one of the genuine cases, but there are some, there's a range of now disingenuous cases, because people see it as a pass to notoriety. Like, they feel they become notorious as a result of Nas saying that we're an ex-Muslim. So kind of pass. People, now you've got certain segments of society encouraging you to, you know, coming out and... Yeah. And building a fan base for yourself.
Just because everyone is making the claim that, okay, and that was another one of his arguments, well, the Christians say you're going to hell if you don't accept Jesus. The Muslims say you're going to hell. The hell with all of you now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you say to that? So they're saying everybody, you know, if I was born in a Christian family, I'll be a Christian. If I was born in a Muslim family, I'm a Muslim. So. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, hellfire is explicit in two religions, Islam and Christianity. Judaism doesn't explicitly mention, the Old Testament doesn't explicitly mention hell. The other Eastern religions, it talks about kind of reincarnation and this, what's referred to in Sikhism as Jun and Ajun and these kind of concepts. So that's the first thing. So it's not all, because the idea of everyone going to hell is...
That's another myth right there. Yeah.
So only two religions that really only explicitly...
Only two. So we got to deal with these now, right?
Yeah, deal with the Christianity. And if you're talking about hell, then we're talking about Islam and Christianity.
Yeah.
Because these are the two religions which make it very, very clear. That
because people say all religions. So we, again, narrowed it down.
Yeah, yeah. Major world religions with significant populations of people that are following them. So really, so then you have to assess the claims of both of those religions. Yeah.
And he didn't deny the creator. He's smart. He said, okay, I still believe in Allah. He still believes. But he now made his own religion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you said, he compounded the problem.
Yeah. And many people, they'll say, I don't believe, and that's the argument someone like maybe him will make or other people have made. I don't believe in a disorganized, any organized religion, right?
Yeah.
So I'll often tell people, what, you believe in a disorganized religion? Of course, if the creator made you, isn't he the most wise?
Absolutely.
Isn't he going to have a system for you to live by? Mm-hmm. Does the person create a company and not have everything laid out, a blueprint, how it needs to run? That doesn't make sense.
That's right.
Is your creator the most wise?
Mm.
So we do these things, but then we attribute, why the human being attributes foolishness to God.
If you really think about what they're saying, it doesn't actually make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, because but they think they're the most logical.
Yeah, they say we don't believe in organized religion. Let's actually break it down. What does the word organized mean? Organized is where you try and find a pattern, or you see something kind of laid out, structured in a certain way. You might not believe in organized religion, but you've organized your thoughts to live your life with certain precepts and concepts that you live your life by. And whatever you call that, if you want to call that religion, if you want to call that a way of life, if you want to call that your own ideology, your own religion, that is an organizational structure or a framework which you use to live your life. That's why the Quran says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen the one who has taken his God, his desires as his God?
Bam.
You know? So in other words, you don't want to take Allah as your God. Once again, going back to Rousseau, man is born free but everywhere in chains. You'll take away the chains of, let's say, religion, organized religion, and strap on the chains of your own framework that you've created, which might deify in a conscious or Freudian unconscious way your own desires.
Mm-hmm.
As Jeremy Bentham was one of the philosophers that said that, and this is really interesting because Bentham came before a man called John Stuart Mill, who refined liberalism. Jeremy Bentham said that, and I can remember reading this for the first time in his book on utilitarianism or something like this, his book is called, he said, you have two gods. You have pain and pleasure. And as I was reading that, I was thinking, subhanAllah, this is exactly how people, it's hedonism at its core, but it's what the Quran says. The hadith says, Ta'is abd dinari dirham, that may the slave of the dinar and the dirham, which are two currencies, i.e. money, be cursed. So if you, and that is, by the way, I believe the biggest god of the Western world now. Forget about Christianity and forget about, you know, atheism, if you want to call that religion. I believe the new god of the Westerner and of other parts of the world, not just the West actually, is the god of money. Mm-hmm. That is the god of money. So you've organized your life now capitalistically in line with free market economics, supply side economics, in a way to try and maximize profits, profit maximizing, and maximize pleasure, which is kind of like utilitarianism or hedonism, for the greatest number of people. So that is in itself that's a framework. It's an organized framework how to live your life. So it allows you to do certain things which would enable you to kind of have fun for the short term or enjoy yourself in a bestial type way which is ironically against what the liberal people like J.S. Mill even advocated. He said that, that's not what you should be doing. You should be thinking more intellectually with criticality. But despite that being the case, you've organized it. So this quote from Marx that religion is the opiate of the masses, this is something which is not even a, it's not really an attack on religion, but it's just, it's saying that religion organizes people. And I don't see why that's actually a bad thing from a psychological perspective. Like, why is it a bad thing? Everyone is organized in a certain way. You've got your own ideology. So if you don't want an organized religion, you're going to have an organized something else.
Yeah.
And that organized something else is going to end up doing very similar things as what the organized religion did to you.
All right. So we wanted to make this short. We're going to cut out. But just hopefully, I mean, these are signs that come to individuals. Not if this gets to our brother Nas and other people who are struggling with these, you know, struggling with their faith, their identity. Mm. I mean, these are things that come to you, and now you got to think. Like, you really got to, you know. And I usually encourage people to dig deep down inside, because we can speak and bring you the logic and the rationale.
Yeah, but it's all up to him.
It's all up to you, and then your relationship with your Creator. If you're sincere, you dig deep down inside, say, Allah, the Creator, you know, guide me. Help me make that sajda again, right? Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't make sense. I mean, it's like somebody having a bunch of fake money, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all counterfeit. It's fake. So they give up on money altogether. But that's based off a real one. The real one is out there. And the proof that there is a real one is that these counterfeit ones. So they can be, isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So the real one is out there. You just have to dig, you know. And when you dig and you're sincere, you'll find it in submission to the will of the Creator. And that's Islam. And we have the Quran intact, tamper-free, tamper-proof. Mm-hmm. It's a living miracle. Mm-hmm. And it's there. What other advice do you have for Nas and other people who are struggling?
I would say, look, I mean, one piece of advice, keep it very simple here. You know, we say 17 times a day, at least, we say, you know, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, that guide us to the straight path. If you do believe in a God, you said you believed in a God. If you do actually believe in a God, then I would actually advise you to ask that God to guide you. Because in the Quran, it says, فَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, that if my servant asks me, then I am near, that I answer the call of the caller when he calls. What he also says in chapter 92 of the Quran, it says, إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا لَلْهُدَى, that certainly upon us is guidance. So there's two things you need to remember. If you are sincerely looking for truth, ask God for guidance, and it's upon him to guide you.
Beautiful. Done. We'd like to hear from you, Nas. Anybody else struggling? Take this beautiful advice. We'll see you next time here on The Dean Show every week. Subscribe if you haven't already. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.